Friday service. We are so glad to have you all as we take this opportunity to remember the death of Christ for us on the cross. This evening, as you might have taken by the scripture readings that are given, the poems that were read as well, that we're looking at the Lamb that was slain this evening. I'm going to read in just a moment from Revelation chapter 5. As we trace this theme of a Lamb that was slain, the scriptures. But tonight, I want us to have a clear picture in our minds of death. It is not what we would typically want to think about. We turn away from looking at a bad wound even on someone. We let alone seeing a life that has expired or a body that has gone cold. It's even often hard to look on dead animals. A roadkill, while frequent, can still push the boundaries of what you want to see, depending on the grotesque nature of it. We're thankful there are people who get rid of roadkill, excavators that can bury our animals, vets that can dispose of them, morticians who take care of our loved ones and friends when they die, also that we don't have to go near or touch death. It was something in the Old Testament that would make someone unclean touching death. There are many laws, ceremonial laws, about what makes someone clean and unclean and how to remove or move a dead body. And yet there is so much in the scriptures about death being the way to life. Death is used by God to save people. And in Revelation 5, a crowd is staring at one who was killed and singing praises to him. Revelation chapter 5 and beginning in verse 1, if you want to follow along. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And then I looked, and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped this one lamb who had been slain, was standing. This one lamb who had been slain purchased their redemption. And they bow and praise and sing praise to him. Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we ask your blessing in our time, these next few moments, as we look into your word, as we think on these themes of a lamb who was slain. One who came and gave his life, the very Son of God, pictured here in this text as a lamb, as a sacrifice. the lion of the tribe of Judah, and yet what comes forward is a lamb. What is standing in front of them is a lamb, as though it had been slain. Father, we're grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Our lives, our eternal lives, and our lives right now utterly depend upon it. And we ask that you would be with us and bless us. Open our eyes to the scriptures. And may we behold Christ this evening as the Lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world. May you receive the glory and the honor. And may we receive closer intimacy and grace in our walk with you through it. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. As we read Revelation 5, we see this lamb, but as we move throughout the Old Testament to the New, we see the image of a lamb slain, pointing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Why do you think cremation is so popular in our post-Christian society? And not only is it the most economical option, which right now, in the middle of everything, all the prices going up, looks more and more tempting, but it also allows the mourners to not see anything unsavory. If I don't see it, then it doesn't exist. No body to view, no casket to remind us of hard things, no internment to show us what awaits our bodies. We call them celebration of life services, memorial service, instead of funerals. Just a few days ago, at David's funeral, it was for the first time in almost 7 years that a casket has been present at a funeral here. And no surprise, the service was called just that, a funeral. A funeral is a ceremony or group of ceremonies held in connection with the burial or cremation of a dead person. But if you don't like to think about a dead person, then we call it a celebration of life. And no offense to those who have celebration of life services, but I have told my wife repeatedly, most of the time after celebration of life services, this is not a regular conversation that we have, but I have told her, I want a funeral with a casket and a viewing. I'm so sorry to all of you. I won't be here for it, but I want my children and grandchildren and your children and your grandchildren to see a dead person and have to process that life is not endless, that there is an end here. What happens when a person dies? Where do they go? What will one day happen to me? What has happened to this person? Who is here? It's not sanitized and clinical, out of sight and out of mind. One Sunday he's here and one Sunday he's not, and we don't know where he went. No one sees or processes through the difficulties of death. Our society is beginning to rid us of the difficulties that we might face in life and in death. The Old Testament people of Israel had a regular ritual of seeing death visibly, up close and personal, that was commanded by God for them to observe. The sacrificial system of a lamb or a bull or a bird, depending on your family, being put to death for the sins of a family or a person. The first time we see it in the scriptures is before it was instituted to Israel as a nation, before Israel was even a nation. And that is in Genesis 4, when Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, offers the firstborn of his flock to the Lord as an offering. The first time we see animals killed in the Bible is just before this. In Genesis 3, when God clothes Adam and Eve after they have sinned, and he clothes them with skins. We can safely assume that these are animal skins, and probably not snake skins that are merely shedded every so often, but animal skins after they are killed. Noah offered burnt offerings of animals to the Lord after he and his family were delivered from God, by God, from the flood. It was the aroma, the text says, of Noah's offering to God that moved God to make a covenant to never destroy the earth again by a universal flood. Noah was thanking and recognizing that it was the Lord's mercy and grace that saved them. And that recognition of God moved his heart to think of all mankind. The personal animal sacrifice offering affected all humanity. The patriarchs in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, built altars to the Lord and made sacrifices to him, calling on his name, giving thanks to him, and atoning for their sins and the sins of others. The idea of death of one covering the life of others. By this animal dying, we are being benefited. Our relationship with God is closer because of the death of an animal. It seems weird, and yet it's what God commanded his people to do. The lambs that are being slain do not take away sins, but they point forward to the one true lamb that will. They are like breadcrumbs showing the way. You know who took the last cookie or last piece of sourdough bread based on the breadcrumb trail. On the floor, on their shirt, in their beard, on their mouth maybe. The breadcrumbs are not the bread itself. The breadcrumbs are not the cookie itself, but they point to it. You cannot live on just a diet of breadcrumbs. You need the piece of bread to feed you. But the breadcrumbs are real and tangible ways to see the bigger picture, just as the sacrifices that Israel makes in the Old Testament reveal their obedience to God and his commands and their faith in God's promises. They are like teasers or movie trailers, just showing glimpses of what God is going to reveal to them and to us. Abraham hints at this in the passage that Kate read earlier. In Genesis 22, when Abraham is going to offer his son Isaac, and Isaac notices they have everything they need for a sacrifice, except the sacrifice. And his dad says, in a prophesying way, that God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Think about it. God provides every single lamb for every single sacrifice that his people ever made. Every single lamb came from God as he gave sheep the ability to produce offspring, as he blessed the sheep with lambs, and as those lambs were without blemish, because God made them that way. Then they could be offered to God as a sacrifice. And in the same way, God provided ultimately in his only son Jesus as the lamb, the true lamb who was without blemish or spot. But from Exodus on, Israel is now sacrificing loads of animals all the time. You read the Old Testament and see how many animals are being sacrificed, especially when there's a large occasion or the commemoration of a temple, the Solomon. Read how many hundreds and hundreds of animals are sacrificed. Bulls, male sheep, goat, turtle doves, pigeons, all offered by the people to the Lord. Killed, burned, blood drained, blood thrown again against the side of an altar, the removing of entrails or its crop, and a pleasing aroma going up to the Lord. And no doubt going around to all the people as well. Just imagine all the smell of burned meat, cooked meat all the time. I would want to live as close as I could to the tabernacle in the wilderness. This is described in detail in Leviticus chapter 1. Burnt offerings, sin offerings, peace offerings, guilt offerings, grain offerings, laying hands on the animal, killing it, gutting it, draining it, burning it, over and over again. Have you ever read the Old Testament in this series of sacrificial offerings and thought, what kind of a scene are we talking about here? Why did the tabernacle in the wilderness have nice curtains all around it, when what would be happening inside it is blood splattering all over the sides of it? Oh, why was the altar and other items close by made of bronze or gold? Why did the priest wear nice clothes as described in the first five books of the Old Testament when they knew that everything was going to be splattered with blood? Why the constant reminder of death? Why all of this imagery? Here at the center of where Israel exists, all of the nations of Israel at the time fan out from the tabernacle. It's at the center of the community. And in the center of the community, what is happening is sacrifices after sacrifice after sacrifice. Blood being poured out, poured out all over the place, all the time. Why the constant reminder of death? To remind the Israelites, young and old, that the animals were taking their place. They all deserved to die because of their sin, because of the fall when Adam and Eve sinned in the place of all mankind. And yet God was making a way for them. God had commanded it. And these animals at this time are taking their place. They're not atoning for their sins, but taking their place, pointing like breadcrumbs to the true bread and loaf that exists in the person of Jesus. They all deserve to die, just as we do, because of our sins. Because of the fall when Adam and Eve sinned in the place of all mankind, we are sinners. And we deserve death for our sins. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the payment of sin is death." We all sin every day. And at the end of the week, we get a paycheck that says, "Congratulations, because of your sins all week, you have earned yourself death. That is your payment. That is your wages." Israel needed the regular reminder their sins deserve death. And right now, this animal is taking their place. And ultimately, these animals point to the true and greater Lamb who is to come, who doesn't just take our place, but who takes our sins and all of our wages that we have earned, all of the death that we deserve. And he dies for us so that we might live. That no other sheep or lamb, bull, or bird could do. Just as our culture's lack of seeing death has kept us from having to process it and remember that we will someday die, that death comes for all, so also Israel's constant access to death numbed them to remembering the point of it all. Ultimately, the answer today is not to have an open casket or to bury Fido yourself in the backyard, but the answer is Jesus' death changed everything. He gives purpose and meaning now to death because he died for us. He died the punitive death for our sins, so we only have to die the physical death for our bodies. Do you hear that? You will die someday, be put in a box and in the ground, if the Lord tarries. But if you're a Christian, then that's it. You won't have to ever suffer punishment for your sins. Those wages that you've earned have all been taken care of because Christ took them for you. Death is not your punishment, but the path to reach your reward. Death is the vehicle that brings you as a Christian to eternity. And for some, while the ride might be pretty bumpy, the destination will be worth it all. The lamb is the image and metaphor that is all throughout the Bible. God is called our shepherd. We are his sheep. Psalm 23 is a favorite passage for many. "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters." Jesus says he is the door to his sheep. He protects them. He saves them. His sheep hear his voice. He is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The psalmist again says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Isaiah 53, which will be read later this evening, calls us sheep, but says that Jesus will be the sacrificial lamb for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've sinned, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He, the true Lamb, Christ, was oppressed. He was afflicted, and he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. John 1:29, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Paul calls Jesus our Passover Lamb. Just as in the Old Testament, when the blood was put on the doorposts, the people were saved, so too now when we trust in the blood of Christ, shed for our sins, so are we saved. Jesus, speaking to Peter after his resurrection, tells him to feed his sheep. The once image of death, the picture of a lamb, the once image of death is now in Jesus, who was the true sacrificial Lamb of God, is now redeemed. And what was once a picture of death as a lamb that was put in sacrificial offering of the people before their God is now redeemed and seen one and now as intimacy between us and God, the image of a shepherd to his little sheep. This image now becomes a reminder we are created beings, utterly dependent on God our shepherd, as sheep are of their human shepherd. The image now becomes one of a reminder that Jesus sacrificed his life for us. Just as the lamb had its blood drained and was put to death, so Christ's blood was drained, put to death that we might live in him. The shepherd gave his life for his sheep. Not the way that you would expect the sacrificial system to close, but it's the only way our sins could truly be atoned for. It's as if the perfect and unblemished Son of God was a sacrifice for us all. The one gives his life for the good of all humanity. Do you have a picture of death in mind? Of a sheep on an altar? Of Christ on the cross? It's not pretty. We read the word gory. It's bloody, horribly painful for the one who dies, and yet Jesus willingly went through the worst of deaths, the most painful, shameful, and unfair death imaginable. And even though he personally was perfectly innocent and all-powerful, able to subdue everyone who was part of his murder, he went through it like a silent lamb, taking every blow and every part of it for you and for me. Do you remember what we read in Revelation 5 just a few minutes ago? Worthy are you to take the scroll. Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Jesus, the true Lamb, worthy to open the scrolls and bring forth judgment on the world because he was slain. The Old Testament sacrifice was burned up when it was killed, but Jesus' death rescues everyone who believes on him. What this shows is that the death of Christ on the cross as the lamb who was slain was no mere afterthought. To all of a sudden, God, in working with his people throughout thousands of years, all of a sudden said, I've got to have a way to actually take care of sin. And those little lambs on the altars didn't do it. So what can I think up now? But as this image of a lamb is seen from Genesis all the way to Revelation, we see it as this is what it was culminating in. This was the point of it all, is the redemption of God's people by the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. The song lyrics say it this way, guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement? How can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Look at the body and blood of Jesus as the means of your salvation. Your redemption came by the Lamb of God, slain for the sins of the world. How do we remember this? Something this amazing should not be forgotten, right? Well, we read our Bibles, for one, so that whenever we read about the Old Testament laws, animal sacrifices, sin and rebellion to God's laws, this maybe is why the Old Testament is like three times larger than the New Testament, to give us all of these metaphors and all of these things that point us like breadcrumbs to Jesus. When we read the Bible, when we read these things, let it remind us of our sin and the sacrifice of Christ for us on the cross. And two, when we see death, either an animal on your farm or in your family, or someone you knew and loved, let it remind you that death is not the end. But death in Jesus' case has become the means of your eternal life. Use the metaphors and images of everyday life to point you to the metaphors and images that God uses in the scriptures to ultimately point you to Christ. And thirdly, gather with the church and participate in the Lord's Supper until Jesus returns. Jesus commands this of us. And honestly, it can seem a bit weird to do it until we remember the sacrificial system, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for us. The words that Jesus says as he says to his disciples before he is crucified, this wine, this is my blood that is shed for you. as the blood of the animal, the lamb, was slain and then drained down a certain part. And the priest would then take some of it and fling it against the altar. Just imagine that altar covered in all of this dried blood year after year, month after month, day after day. And Christ's blood was not shed just to be thrown on the altar, but was shed for your sins and mine. This is my blood that was shed for you. And he holds up the bread and says, this is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat. Take and drink. And remember my death until I come. And so at this point, that's exactly what we'll do. I have an opportunity to remember the Lord's death until he comes. We don't have to wait until next year and next Good Friday to remember his death. We get to remember it regularly as a church body. Every month when we participate in the Lord's Supper together, you can remember it every single day. As you open God's word and see it on the pages of Scripture, you can remember it with your family. Remember it in prayer. Remember it every time you sin. And go to the cross and repent and trust in Christ afresh, that his blood has forgiven you of your sins. Your faith in the work that Christ has done on the cross, he sees that and he has blessed that. And he has given you new life in himself. And so in just a minute, music's going to play. And we're going to have Sarah up at the piano and Graham on the cello. And we're going to be able to have an opportunity to pray. And to be able to, if you're not a Christian, to be able to hear the gospel that the Son of God came and gave his life for you. What does he call you to do? Just believe. And in believing in this, you repent of your sins and say, I am not perfect. I can't do this on my own, and I need Christ. And the blood that he has shed for my sins, I believe it. And I'm crying out now for him to save me. And for the Christian to say, I'm still sinning regularly. I'm still earning those wages. And I know Christ has paid for it, but I still need that image of intimacy, that the lamb and the shepherd, the sheep and its shepherd, is one of beautiful imagery that has been redeemed for me, and I need to repent of my sins and draw near to my shepherd. So take a moment, pray, and Christian, you come and you participate in the Lord's Supper with us in receiving these elements and remember the death, burial of Jesus on the cross for our sins. So we're going to have music play. And we'll have guys who come up here, and in just a moment when they're all set up and ready and you have prayed and sought the Lord, thanked him for his sacrifice on the cross, repented of sins, whatever that looks like, then you come and you celebrate in remembering the death of Jesus until he comes again. Let me pray for us and we'll move into the Lord's Supper. Our Father, we're grateful for this reminder this evening as we sung, as we read from Scripture, as we read beautiful metaphors that have been given. We are so grateful for the opportunity to remember your death until you come. Would you use it in a way to continue to draw us closer to you? Would you use it in a way to continue to swell our hearts in thanksgiving for the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf? And would you use it to continue to draw people out of their sins and into a relationship with you for all of eternity? We pray this in Jesus' name.